Welcome to episode 30 of the Fredcast for the week of August the 21st, 2006. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. Welcome to the 30th episode of the Fredcast. In the news this week, I'll catch you up on all the latest news from the Eneco Tour of Benelux. More names are going to be released this week in the Operación Puerto affair. Lots of Floyd Landis news, Tyler Hamilton wins a race, and much more. Following that, a short features section this week, including more on GPS elevation maps and a new site on the internet. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the 30th episode of the Fredcast. Well, welcome back to another episode of the Fredcast, and can you believe this is number 30? If you've been with us since the beginning, thank you. It's great to have you here through number 30 and beyond. It's hard for me to believe that I started this little podcast just a few short months ago and to see where it's gone. So thank you to everybody who's been listening and voting and supporting the Fredcast over these last few months. It's great to be at number 30. I can't wait to be at number 60 and even number 100. So keep riding along with us. We really appreciate your support. And speaking of your support, before we get into the news, I just wanted to let you know that I once again want to thank you for nominating the Fredcast for the 2006 People's Choice Podcast Awards. The results are in. Drum roll, please. The Fredcast did not win. No, everybody, it's okay. No, don't get too upset. Now listen, hear me out. We lost to a podcast that's called Sex is Fun. Now, if you think about it, what chance did we really have against that podcast anyway? Listen, it was great to be nominated. And listen, we really weren't the only ones who had stiff competition like this. Our friends over at the Manic Mommies podcast, they were nominated against a Catholic podcast. And Kristen sent me an email after we both lost and said, listen, what chance did we have? We were up against God and sex. We really didn't even have a chance. Well, let's just say we didn't have a chance in the world. Anyway, I want to thank you again for your support and for nominating the Fredcast. And I want you to know that I'm not just going to sit back and melt into the woodwork. No, instead, I'm going to continue on with the Fredcast. And actually, also wanted to let you know, I've also started another show, another podcast, which will be available on iTunes very, very soon, in the next day or so. This show is called The Spokesman Cycling Podcast. And this is a show where I've brought together other cycling podcasters, and we're going to have a periodic roundtable where we'll discuss the news of the day in cycling. So we recorded the first show yesterday. I've finished editing it, and we'll be posting it very, very quickly online. You can go to our website, where there's just a little bit of information, at the-spokesman.com. And again, look in iTunes for a link, and I'll also put a link in the show notes as well as on the homepage of the Fredcast. It's just another way to bring you cycling news and a few more views on cycling from other podcasters really around the world who are concerned with cycling. So check it out. I'm actually going to drop it into the feed of the Fredcast so you can hear the first show. And then from there, it's up to you if you'd like to subscribe, but I really hope that you do. And I hope that you enjoy that show as much as you seem to enjoy the Fredcast. And one last announcement, if you will. I've started a third podcast, and this one is a pro bono kind of a thing. I told you last week that I'm very, very much involved in the MS-150 Beta Bay bike tour that goes from Orange County to San Diego every October. And I'm volunteering my time to do a podcast for them as well. And if you'd like to listen to that, I will drop a link into the show notes as well as onto the Fredcast main page. I will not be dropping that podcast into the feed. And if you'd like more information, you can go to ms150baytobay.com and you can subscribe to the podcast from there as well. Just one more way that I'm helping to serve the cycling community. Whew. All right. I'm done with the announcements. Let's get on with the news. Well, as is typical these days, the news is filled with stories about doping, and we will get to those stories soon enough, but I prefer starting this week's show with some positive cycling news. Specifically, an update on the Eneco Tour of Benelux, which is taking place now until August 23rd in Belgium, the Netherlands, and of course, Luxembourg. This year's Tour of Benelux began on August 16th with a 6.1-kilometer prologue, which was won by German Stefan Schumacher of the Gerolsteiner team. Schumacher completed the course in 7 minutes flat, just barely eclipsing American George Hincapie from Team Discovery and the Netherlands' Joost Postuma, who were both exactly 1 second behind the winner. Fourth place went to Spain's José Iván Gutiérrez, and Belgium's Tom Bonin came in a strong fifth, foreshadowing what has so far been an excellent race for the Belgian rider. On Thursday, Bonin sprinted to a win in the race's first stage, quickly taking over the leader's jersey in the 8-day race, thanks to a 10-second time bonus for winning the stage. Now, by the way, the leader's jersey in the Tour of Benelux is red, so don't look for a yellow jersey in this race. Now, after winning stage one, Bonin made no secret about the fact that while he really wants to win the entire race, he especially would like to win stage five, which took place in his hometown of Belen today. I'll get to that in a moment. Now, Bonin kept the lead in the race until stage four on Sunday. The world champion went into that stage with an 11-second lead over his nearest competitor, having won the previous day's stage three. But stage four was a 16-kilometer individual time trial, and it was won by Discovery's George Hincapie. Hincapie credited what he called his, quote, physical freshness, which has resulted from not having done much training since the Tour de France in July. Meanwhile, Bonin continued to keep his eye on trying to win today's stage five in his Belgian hometown. And win it, he did, by outsprinting several other racers at the line of the 183-kilometer stage. Today's racing took place in dismally cold and wet northern European weather, but the atmospheric conditions couldn't dampen Bonin's joy or the hometown pride. Despite Bonin's win, George Hincapie retains his lead 3 seconds over second-place rider Stefan Schumacher. Third place currently is Vincenzo Nibali from Italy and the Liquigas team. Fourth place, José Iván Gutiérrez from Spain and the Casta Epargnier team. And fifth, Manuel Quinziato from Italy and the Liquigas team. Now, interestingly, Bonin is nowhere in the current top 10 standings of the Tour of Benelux. So there's a couple of days racing left to go. And of course, next week on the Fredcast, I will have all your final results and let you know who wins this year's 2006 Eneco Tour of Benelux. Well, I've been telling you over the last couple of weeks about what the next Pro Tour events are, and the most important one coming up is the final Grand Tour of the year, and that's the Vuelta a España. This is starting this coming weekend, August the 26th, and going all the way through September the 17th. I put a link in the show notes to their website, and I will keep you updated on the Fredcast, and I'll also give you some periodic updates on the Fredcast website so that you don't have to go cycling cold turkey between each Fredcast. So go to www.thefredcast.com after the Vuelta begins, and I will be giving you periodic updates on the blog page right there on the site. You will remember, and it's been all over the news, that just before this year's Tour de France began, the Friday before, as a matter of fact, the cycling world was thrown on its ear when the names were released of a number of riders that were associated with the Operación Puerto affair. That's the doping scandal that's going on in Spain, which has just thrown the whole sporting world for a loop. And you'll recall that because those names were released, a large number of riders, including some of the top contenders for the Tour this year, were disallowed from participating in the Tour. Well, Velo News is now reporting that when the Pro Tour teams met in Brussels, Belgium last week, they demanded that any additional names that were found so far by the UCI as having been associated with Operación Puerto, they've requested that those names be released this week in advance of the Vuelta, and it looks like that's going to happen. According to L'Equipe, which is a French sporting newspaper, and we've talked about them before, as many as 50 additional names from 14 teams could be released this week, and 7 of those teams are Pro Tour teams. So once again, we could have a very interesting turn of events in the Vuelta, which is coming up. It's an important race. It's one of the most important races every year because it is one of those Grand Tours, one of those multi-week stage race events. And it looks like we could be seeing even more scandal this week. I'll keep you updated and let you know exactly what happens and which names are released. And we hope that there aren't that many names released. We hope that there aren't that many racers involved. But then again, it would be nice to get the sport cleaned up. We'll have to see what happens over the next couple of days. In the news, of course, the last couple of weeks have been Floyd Landis, the winner of the 2006 Tour de France, and the person who is currently suspected of doping in this year's tour, having found that both of his urine samples had elevated levels of testosterone and that synthetic testosterone was also found in those samples. Landis has been the subject of much scrutiny. He has been raked over the coals in the media, in the press, and he himself has gone on a publicity tour to try to clear his name. But in the last few days, he's been relatively quiet. And there is some sad news from the Floyd Landis family, and that is that his 57-year-old father-in-law, David Witt, was discovered in a parking garage last Tuesday afternoon having committed suicide. And according to the Associated Press, quote, "The Landises are devastated by the news of David's death. They loved him dearly, and they miss him." And this is according to a family spokesman, Michael Henson. Now, Witt was Landis's wife Amber's father-in-law, but he was also, at one time, Floyd's roommate, one of the people who introduced Floyd to road racing, and also one of the people, or the person, who introduced Floyd to his future wife. It, according to the stories, it does not look like the whole Floyd Landis doping scandal really contributed much at all to the fact that Mr. Witt committed suicide. Apparently, he was battling depression. So it's a very sad thing that, whether Floyd doped or not, the fact that he's got to go through this tragedy with his family, and of course, our thoughts are with him and his family in their grief. Now, meanwhile, there are a number of efforts on the internet aimed specifically at the Floyd Landis affair. The first one that I found is at www.supportfloyd.com. This is a website that has been put up by a supporter of Floyd Landis, and it provides all of the evidence for Floyd. Positive comments by Lance Armstrong, lots of comments about why the person who did the website thinks that Floyd may not be guilty, and it's at least worth a look, and I put a link in the show notes so you can go check it out. I was a bit curious about the ownership of the website because nowhere on the site does it list an about this website link, and so I went and I did a Who Is search, and a Who Is search is where you can find out who actually owns a particular domain, and this domain is listed discreetly, or actually what that means is that the owner of the domain has asked to remain confidential. So not many hints there about who owns it, what their agenda is, whether or not it's just a fan of Floyd's, or whether it's somebody in Floyd's camp. If anyone out there knows the origin of the website, I sure would appreciate it, and I would definitely report that on the next Fredcast. Another effort that's been going on in the internet is a number of petitions that have sprung up as a result of the Floyd Landis affair. Now, the petitions aren't necessarily supporting Floyd Landis, but they're supporting cycling. Take one that was put up by Carlton Reed from the Cycling News and Views podcast and the Bike Biz magazine in the UK. Carlton's petition specifically calls for three things. Number one, a transparent and independent scrutiny of the staff and working practices at the laboratory that handled Floyd Landis's samples. Two, a switch away from that laboratory by the UCI, because the laboratory has been shown to have a very close association with the French magazine L'Équipe, which is inappropriate in and of itself, because the laboratory, of course, should be independent. And also because this laboratory has been involved in other questionable dealings when it comes to cyclists' samples, and specifically the Lance Armstrong issue. And third, it calls for an internal inquiry at the World Anti-Doping Agency into the conduct of its leader, Dick Pound, specifically according to the petition, because of the way that Pound has reacted as if Floyd was guilty and that he must prove himself innocent instead of the other way around. So that's one petition. Another petition is by a cycling fan who specifically calls for demanding that the organizers of events accept a greater responsibility and that the teams no longer allow cyclists who have even had one issue of doping, and really just supporting cycling as a doping-free sport. Now, I've put links to both of these petitions on the show notes, something that you can go check out for yourself, and if you're interested, even sign. I'm not advocating one or the other, just something that I wanted to bring to you so that you are aware. Now, as we all suspected, this whole doping situation in cycling is not without its fallout. Now, of course, one part of the fallout is the fact that this is all we talk about on the Fredcast, and I can't wait to get away from this, but that's not the only fallout that's involved with this entire doping scandal. Major events and major teams are starting to lose sponsors as a result because the sponsors don't want to be associated with a dirty sport. Give you an example. I'll give you a couple of examples. Number one, what's larger than the Tour de France? In cycling, really nothing. The Tour de France has just lost a major sponsor as a result of this doping affair. They lost the Czech car manufacturer, Skoda. They've withdrawn from sponsorship of the Tour de France directly as a result of the Operación Puerto scandal and specifically the Floyd Landis affair. According to a Skoda spokesman, quote, "The recent scandal involving Floyd Landis is not good for our image." Here's another example. You'll recall that this year Floyd won the Ford Tour of Georgia, and the Ford dealers of Georgia had a multi-year sponsorship agreement with the organizers of the race, yet they've just backed out because of what they said was economic reasons and a downturn in the automotive industry. But I can't help but wonder if they would have still pulled out had this whole Floyd Landis affair not occurred. Let me give you a third example. You'll remember that, at least in one of the last couple of shows, I mentioned the fact that the Phonak team was going to now, next year, be called the iShares team. iShares has now pulled out of the sponsorship of that team, and as a result, the entire Phonak team will fold at the end of the 2006 racing season. Now, according to Phonak's owner, Andy Rees, he said, quote, "I've had to do something I've never done in my whole life. Give up." But the bottom line is that Phonak and the entire team, whether it was called Phonak or called iShares, have been disgraced not only by the Floyd Landis affair, whether he doped or not, but also by other high-profile doping cases, including, let's not forget, Tyler Hamilton. So this entire affair is going to have wide-ranging effects, as I've said the last couple of weeks, and only now are we starting to see those effects, and I think that they're going to continue and that we have much more to come as all of the fallout is yet to appear from this doping scandal that's going on in cycling right now. And speaking of that, you remember that Jan Ulrich, who was a contender to win this year's Tour de France, was disallowed from it participating in the race as a result of the Operación Puerto scandal. Now, Swiss authorities have launched an investigation into the German rider. The reason for this is because Jan lives in Switzerland and his racing license is issued in Switzerland. He's now under investigation, and because he has a previous doping conviction, if he's found guilty of doping or a doping-related charge in this latest investigation, he will face a lifetime ban from cycling. So we'll see how that turns out. And as you've learned, cycling is not the only sport that's plagued by doping at the moment. A few weeks ago, I told you about an American track and field athlete who also tested positive for doping. Now, another American track and field athlete has also tested positive for doping. This time it's Marion Jones, who failed a drug test back in June at the U.S. Track and Field Championships. And I want to point something out here that's interesting and one of the things that has people upset about the Floyd Landis case. You remember in the previous case of the American sprinter, I told you that his sample had tested positive and that had been months before the announcement. In the case of Marion Jones, her sample tested positive, and that was back in June. Contrast that to how Floyd was treated when his sample tested positive, and it was announced just a matter of days after the positive result. This is one of the things that has people so upset about this Floyd Landis situation, and one of the things that Floyd has said about WADA and the UCI and the French lab not following the rules. Now, that may be a technicality. It may not matter at the end of the day when the evidence is all in. Nevertheless, it does show that there is an inequity in the way that cyclists are treated versus other athletes. Nevertheless, when it comes to Marion Jones, she has failed based on her A sample. Again, that was tested back in June because it was shown to contain the performance-enhancing EPO, which we know is a blood-boosting drug. She's now requested that her B sample be tested, and we'll see what happens there. But I bring this story up because I think it points out two things. One, that cycling is not the only sport that's currently facing doping problems, but also to show the difference between the way the cyclists are treated and the way some of these other athletes are treated when it comes to their lab results. And finally, speaking of doping and speaking of Phonak, this past weekend was the annual running of the Mount Washington Toll Road Hill Climb. This is a 7.6-mile climb to the top of Mount Washington in New Hampshire. This year's race was won by suspended Phonak racer Tyler Hamilton. Tyler has been suspended for 2 years, as you know, and his suspension ends on September 22nd of this year. So why was Tyler participating in this race? Well, simply because he's suspended and forbidden from participating in officially sanctioned races. Because the Mount Washington Hill Climb is not an officially sanctioned race, he is technically allowed to participate. And he won it with a time of 52 minutes and 21 seconds. Second place went to 51-year-old former world mountain bike champion Ned Overend of Durango, Colorado. And first place in the women's division went to Amy Vassy at 1 hour, 8 minutes, and 31 seconds. Whew, I'm tired from all that doping talk. Let's talk a little tech. One of the most popular things I've ever talked about here on the Fredcast was way back in show number 19 when one of our listeners gave us some instructions on ways that you can create elevation maps so that you get a profile of what your ride's going to look like based on the route that you're going to follow. And the instructions that were provided were a little bit confusing, and there was a lot of talk on the forums, and I received a lot of emails asking, isn't there a better way to do this? Well, I have found a new way to get this done and get it done easily. And as I said in the post on the forums, well, this is sort of relatively easily. In order to do this, what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to use the Google Earth Plus software. Now, as you know, Google Earth is free software that you can download from Google. They provide it to you free, and it's really cool and fun to use just as a time killer if you want. Now, Google Earth Plus is an optional upgrade that's offered by Google for $20. Now, in addition to the basic features, Google Earth Plus gives you faster performance. You get GPS data import so you can read tracks in from certain GPS devices, which is useful. You get higher resolution printing and a number of other features, including better customer support. So it's the same software as you use with Google Earth. Then you go to the help menu and you select the upgrade to plus link. And from there, you're able to upgrade for $20. Once you have that, one of the features that's available there is what's called the path tool. The path tool allows you to click along a road and create, as the name implies, a path that you can follow. By using this tool, you're actually able to create your elevation maps much easier. So here's the way it works. Go into Google Earth Plus and create a route using the Create a Path tool. And simply all you do is click along a road so that the path that you're creating by each of the dots that you're making along the road follows the contour of the road itself, because if you just click from point A to point B, you're going to get only a straight line. So generally what I do is I click along the road. When I get to a turn, I click in a couple of places on the turn to keep the path smoothly going around that turn. Then once you've got your path created, you can save the path using the Save menu as a .kml file. Now, this is where it gets a little confusing. So I've put these notes into the show notes, and they're also on a forum post that is on the Fredcast forums, and the link is in the show notes. So now you've got your KML file. The next thing that you want to do is you want to actually open that KML file in a basic text editor. So if you're using Windows, you would use the Notepad application. If you're using Mac, you could use the Text Edit application. Next, what you want to do is you want to find a tag that says placemark. You select from just before where it says placemark to the close placemark tag at the end of the file. And you would find the close placemark tag because before the word placemark, there would be a slash. Copy all of that and then go to a particular site on the internet, and that link is in the show notes, and paste that copied text into the very first box that's there. This is the one labeled GE for Google Earth, Path to GPS Plots. Now, this was created by a very helpful young man on the Google Earth community forums when I told him what I was trying to do. He's obviously a programmer, and he created a script that could then take this path and convert it to one that could be read by some of the software that we talked about in show number 19. Once you paste it in, click the convert button. Then be patient, because if you have a long path, it's going to take a little while for it to do its work. Now, the resulting page is going to present you with new text. You want to copy all of that. Go back to Notepad or Text Edit, create a new file, paste the text in, and then save the resulting file as a regular text file. And then at the end, instead of the .txt, which you would have for a normal text file, you want to append .kml. From there, it's really simple. Follow the rest of the instructions that we mentioned in show number 19, where you use the software GPS Babel, TopoFusion, and GPSVisualizer.com. I've done this time after time after time to make sure that it works and make sure that it's easy to use. And I've also posted a sample on the website. So if you click the link in the show notes, it'll show you what the elevation profile map will look like once you're done. This really is easy. It sounds very confusing, but if you follow the instructions that are in the show notes, this is going to work time after time for you as well. And this is really useful for maybe you're planning a route for your club and you want to show people what the elevation profile is going to look like. Or maybe you're helping to plan, as I am, a charity ride like the MS-150 Beta Bay Bike Tour, and you want to be able to show the participants what they're in for if they participate in the ride. This is a very, very handy thing, something every cyclist should be able to do, and hopefully I've made it easier for you, although I'm sure that just listening to it, I've thoroughly confused you. Nevertheless, very simple to do. Go ahead and give it a try. Now, this week, I also wanted to tell you about something new that's on the internet, something that I think is notable and something that I think that you'll enjoy. This was brought to me by listener Mick, as well as a couple of others. The website is CycleLogs, and it's at www.cyclelogs.co.uk. This is a great website, along the lines of some of the others that we've talked about before, that allows you to record and analyze all of your cycling statistics. Specifically, what allows you to do is keep track of all of your training and riding activity so that you've got a really good log of your cycling. And it's got some great tools that allow you to run customized queries so that you can really analyze your ride data. It's got a great log, and the log is available both in a list view and a calendar view, and it's a free site. And of course, as a lot of these sites frequently have, there's a friendly competition. So when you first go to the homepage of CycleLogs, you'll see that there are leaders. In other words, those people who have ridden the most miles for this particular month. So for instance, think about how many miles you've ridden this month. I know how many miles I've ridden this month, and it's been a busy month personally, so not as many as I'd like. But can you believe that the number one person on the website as of right now has ridden 1,180 miles for the month of August? That's amazing. That puts them well on track to ride over 12,000 miles this year. I'm a Fred and I ride a lot, but does that person have a day job? Anyway, check it out. It's at www.cyclelogs.co.uk. It's just another way for you to track your cycling with your computer online, and I think that you will enjoy it. And before I go tonight, one shout out. I want to send a shout out to listener Dave in Germany. Dave's been a frequent emailer to me, and his emails are always really interesting. And one of the things that he recently told me about was a race that took place in Lorsch, Germany. And this is the Entega Grand Prix race. And he had a chance to visit the race with his 7-year-old and get a chance to see a lot of the racing that was going on. And he even sent in some pictures, which I've posted up on the photos section of the website. And the pictures that he sent in are really great. They're of the hand bike race. He says, and this is quoting now, he says, "That race was inspiring to watch. Several of the bikes were customized according to each rider's needs. Some of the bikes had difficulty with the sharp corners. Some struggled. All were elated at finishing and were high-fiving during their victory lap." So I think that's fantastic. One of the things that also is in the pictures on the website, he got a great picture of the devil. You know, the devil that you always see up in the Alpe d'Huez at the Tour de France? Well, he was at the Entega Grand Prix, and he got a great shot of him there at what looks like the start-finish line. So thanks, Dave, for sending that in, and thanks for all the emails that you've sent to me over the last couple of weeks and months. I do appreciate those. Now, I know it sounds like this was a short show this week, and you're right, but listen, there's plenty more content coming from the Fredcast over the next couple of hours and days. Remember, I'm going to be sharing with you the first Spokesman podcast. I'll be dropping that into the feed about the same time that I'm dropping this show into the feed, so you're going to get two shows for the price of one. Also, I am putting the finishing touches on all of your audio comments on the Floyd Landis situation, and I will be dropping that into the feed in the next day. So plenty more Fredcast coming this week. Don't despair that this show is just a little bit shorter than normal. I think that you're going to have plenty of cycling content coming from the Fredcast. If you have any comments about this show or any other show, feel free to drop us an email. You can do that at our email address, thefredcast@gmail.com, and that's for audio comments or text comments. If you prefer, you can use the Send Me an Audio Comment button on our webpage, where you can use audio to record directly from your computer, and that will get sent to me as well. Of course, you can always visit the Fredcast forums at forums.thefredcast.com, and please visit the website, frequently updated, at www.thefredcast.com. I appreciate you staying subscribed and telling your friends about the show. Do us a favor. The month is almost over. Head over to Podcast Alley and submit your vote for the Fredcast. And there's a link in the show notes for that. Of course, you can also do that directly from the website. It's on the left-hand side of the page. Just go ahead and put your email address in there and vote for the Fredcast on the Podcast Alley. I would greatly appreciate that support. Finally, as always, PodSafe cycling music tonight is coming to us from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Tonight's song is called Surf Babe by Alamantra. Links in the show notes to the artist's website as well as to their Podshow site. Thanks for listening for the last 30 shows. I do think that 30 is a milestone. I appreciate all of you, and I appreciate how much you enjoy the Fredcast. I can't wait to do the next 30, the next 300, perhaps the next 3,000. Until next week, enjoy the music, but most of all, enjoy the ride.